Well, we usually take this time during the offertory to answer questions. And we receive quite a few questions, and so it's going to take me a long time, not today, but to go through all the questions that you have. But one question in particular I felt like we should go through right away. And it was a question regarding salvation. So if you turn me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. You know where that is, don't you? John chapter 3. As Jesus is talking to a man at night, Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Sanhedrin, a man well studied in Scripture, yet seemingly could not understand, could not comprehend this thing called salvation. So he comes to Jesus at night, afraid that he might be ridiculed by those around him, and probably somewhat concerned that those around Jesus might make fun of him, and finds him in the nighttime and begins to ask him poignant questions. Jesus, knowing exactly what this man needed and what he was really asking, begins to describe to him some of the greatest verses in all of Scripture. In fact, one of the most enduring passages of all of Scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, that's comforting, isn't it? The question came in, how do you get saved? That's a great question, isn't it? How do you get saved? Well, then, these very passages, we see the marvelous truth of what we need to do to come to Christ. And the wonderful thing about this is he's been seeking us all along. In fact, the passage in Ephesians says, before the foundation of the world. And so his longing has always been, and his reaching out has always been for us. The good shepherd has been looking for his lost sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. One thing is real clear as you read in Scripture. We all have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. We've often made comment about what sin actually is. And once again, if I could reiterate that particular point, sin, according to its basic definition, is a missing of the mark. It is not that you're somehow doing something more horrific than somebody else, but it's that you're not perfect. You've missed perfection. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, what is salvation all about? Well, salvation is finding hope and peace and eternal life and a new life in Christ. How do I get there? Well, Scripture tells us that we have to admit, we have to seek truth. And this is a wonderful thing because as the Word of God is proclaimed, what the Spirit of God does, which according to John chapter 15 and verse 26 is defined as the Spirit of truth. What the Spirit of God does is he begins to work within lives, and they begin to hear the message. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Spirit of God begins to work in the hearts of men. And those that are seeking truth hear that message, and they say, that's true. There's something in your heart that says, that's true. Paul writes in Corinthians, no man can confess Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is saying in you, that's true. Christ is Lord. That's true. And you know what else is true? We all need help. See? The big problem, why are people not saved? Why don't people come to know the Lord? Because they won't admit the truth. You're a sinner. Oh, I'm not a sinner. Are you perfect? No. Well, then, just admit it. Just admit that you need a Savior. Just admit that there are things in your life that are problems because you have brought those problems in your life. You have not fixed your life. You've messed it up, and you need help. Things are not going well for you. Just admit it. You know, we try to cover it up. We try to wear masks. Everybody thinks, well, that person's going pretty well, so I should be doing pretty well. They're not doing any better than you are. They need a Savior too. We all need help. Just admit it. And this is what he states in this particular passage. If you look with me in chapter 3, as we come into this wonderful text in which Jesus says, look, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to set you free. And he says this in verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Now, what does light do? It exposes things. When you begin to hear the purity of Christ, when you begin to hear the purity of God, you begin to realize, well, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. When you begin to understand what love is really about, maybe you are now convinced that you really even don't know how to love. Maybe you've been doing it wrong all your life. Would you just admit it? And he says in verse 19, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. But the reason that men don't love the light is because it does expose their sins, and they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to admit it. And so the text says that men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. They wanted to hang on to their deeds. The whole reason that people don't come to Jesus is because they don't want to give up their lifestyle. And they don't want to admit that they're wrong. He says in verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be what? Exposed. He doesn't like the light. Don't tell me the truth. I want to live my life. I want to live a lie. I'm going to be happier in my debauchery. This really will make me happy. Is it making you happy now? No, but I'm sure it will get better. No, it'll only proceed from bad to worse. But he who practices the truth, you can literally put in here, he who longs after the truth will do what? Will come to the light. You know, there's something wonderful about finally being able to admit, I'm not perfect. And I can only be saved if I come to him and admit it. And it says, if you practice the truth, you'll come to the light, that your deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. We come to the very one whose name is Jesus, which means Savior. And we say, save us. Help us. Rescue us. I'm a sinner. I need help. I can't do this thing. I can't be perfect. And he says, I know. That's why I died, for all of your sins. They're paid for. All you have to do is receive the gift. I'm giving you a gift. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received. What do you have to do? Receive the gift. It's yours. He's given it to you. He is not willing that any should perish. And the great declaration of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's no other name. Because there's only one name that says, I'm going to save you, and that's Jesus. And Christ came and died for your sins, and you believe that. And you give your life to him, and you say, no longer do I want to live for myself, but your will be done. And you literally exchange your will and take up his. And you begin to walk and follow him. You confess him as Lord. That if you confess him with the Lord, Romans 10:9-10 says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But it begins with that very simple step. Just admit the truth. Just admit what the truth is. And God's Spirit will begin to work. He begins to stir the truth in your heart. And that's the wonderful power of the Word of God, because as it's proclaimed, the Spirit of God begins to work in hearts, and you go, that's true. That's true. That's true. And all the while, Jesus is saying, come. 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 everlasting life. Jesus says, I came that you might have joy and that your joy may be made full. Obviously, I'm not able to make joy in my life. I admitted that a number of years ago, and I realized that the only person that can give me joy is God. Admit it. You can't make it. Admit that you need a Savior. Can you live forever? No. Well, just admit it. Does He promise you everlasting life? Then I would go with Him. That just makes sense. Receiving Christ makes sense. Come to Him. Father, we give you thanks that this is a wonderful and very simple gospel. You tell us in your word that it is so simple that the arrogant are taken back by it. They feel like there's got to be something that they have to do, some great work that they have to impress you with. And yet we realize over and over again in your word, no, it's just humbling ourselves and coming to you. God, thank you for making it so marvelously simple that a child could do this. And so, Lord, we come to you in simplicity today and confess that we're sinners. We need a Savior. Save us. Give us everlasting life. We put all of our trust in you, and we're not going to go our own way anymore. We want to follow you with all of our hearts. Change our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.